going to continue on with, I guess, kind of a series on how to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit, how to prepare ourselves as we wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're kind of targeting the Pentecost week. That's about now 3 weeks from now. And I said last week, in preparation, praying more. Praying more is a good way to prepare. Praying more. And sure enough, if you look at Book of Acts after, Jesus was lifted up, they got together, and it says that they were praying together. They were praying together. So for the after appointing the 12th disciple, essentially, at the upper room in the Book of Acts, chapter one, they were praying together in the upper room for about, if they took one day to appoint the 12th disciple, rest of the day, at least 9 days, they were praying. They were praying, 120 some odd people got together in the upper room, perhaps like this. I'm not sure if it says big as this, or no, maybe bigger. I'm not sure if they could make the big places like that. But they were praying. They were praying. So in preparation of hoping to be, for us, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. As you said, that you all want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I want to be filled with the Spirit more. I had different phases of that. So in preparation, we are to pray more. And so this week, actually, last week's application was pray more. And so I kept up my prayer schedule. And, it's been a blessing. But I want to continue to target my goal. And so that's something I would like to encourage you. But the following message is just the furthermore, what can we do to prepare? What can we do to wait for the filling of the Spirit? And I want to say this for our young, newly believing Christians and even, year and a half Christians, and definitely you older Christians, is great. You accepted Christ, you experienced Christ, and you're in the Bible study and you're memorizing verses, but through prayer and waiting on the Lord, we need to be further filled with the Holy Spirit. Further filled. I was memorizing, reviewing with Jackie over there. The old is gone, the new is come. Right? Even though you accepted Christ, the old self keep on coming back. The old tendency keeps on coming back. And that, what that does is it quenches the Holy Spirit, not fills us with the Spirit. So we're trying to keep the old self to be crucified, remain crucified, to continue to clothe ourselves with Christ, to live for Christ. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So our old self keep popping up, and we need to continue to crucify the old self and to live in the newness life for new self in Christ. In that way, and through prayer and hoping in the Lord, I want to encourage you guys to want to be more filled with the Spirit. Because without being filled with the Spirit, we're just living an external Christian life in the flesh. We're going through the motion of Christian life, but if we're not filled with the Spirit, it's going to be more the old life, more the flesh. So in waiting for the Spirit, what can we learn from Cornelius? So I jump from the Jewish 120 people praying at the upper room. I'll preach on that probably on the Pentecost weekend. But on the, I jumped to 10 because Cornelius is the beginning of the Gentiles. Gentile ministry where the Holy Spirit comes to the Gentiles, just like the way it came to the Jewish people. So it really relates to us more. Who are you? Are you Jew by birth or, you know, your heritage? No, we're all Gentiles, right? So here's Cornelius in chapter 10. He's the beginning. He's the beginning of the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit, just like the way the Jews did. So in the passage that we have, verse 4, chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed. There was about 6 Jewish people who came with Peter. They were amazed. Whoa, what's going on? I mean, we received the Holy Spirit, but how can these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues, exalting God. And so this is as Peter was preaching. This is as Peter was preaching. So for those of you who don't know the background story, is a Cornelius was a special Gentile. He was a very devout God-fearer who really supported the Jews. So it goes here, it starts with who Cornelius is in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion. Centurion is a, what is it, the captain of 100, century 100, right? Centurion. So he was captain of 100. He's an Italian cohort, a devout man. He is a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. He's a God-fearer. This is an official name for Gentiles who worship Yahweh God, the Jewish God. So not only him, but him and his whole household devoutly fear God. So he's a God-fearer. And he gave many alms to the Jewish people. Alms is like gifts and offering and helps. So he's a centurion, so he probably was well-to-do than typical people. So he gave alms, gifts, and helps to the Jewish people. And it says in the other part, it says, the whole nation of Jews knew him. He is famous among, well-spoken by the entire nation of Jews. Entire nation of Jews. As you know, nation of Jews is a Jews diaspora. Jews were just scattered out, but you call them a nation, nation of Jews. So Cornelius was well spoken of by all the Jewish people because he, you know, really feared God and practiced what he believed. And then it says, and pray to God continually. Pray to God continually. So here's a Gentile who did not know Jesus Christ. Among the Jewish people who did not know Jesus Christ. But he was a devout man. He feared God. And he practiced what he believed. And he was a man of prayer. Man of prayer. And so it happened while he was praying. He saw an angel come in. He saw an angel from in a vision come in and told Cornelius, now dispatch some men to Joppa. Joppa, you know, this is a name, you know, Joppa from Star Wars. Yeah, I was thinking whether they got the name from the Bible. So Joppa, go to city of Joppa and send for a man named Simon called Peter, staying at the tanner named Simon too. So he must be a person who tans things. Who's by the house is by the sea. So it was a kind of a seacoast city. The angel was speaking to him and had left and summoned. So he, basically that's what the angel said. Go and send some people to, you know, bring this man named Peter who's in a certain city by the sea, and have him come and speak to you. And so he sent a couple, let's see, I think three men to go get Peter. And so next day as they were approaching close to the city where Peter was at, Peter was on the top of the house, and it says he became hungry and was desiring to eat. So he was kind of hungry. And while they were making preparation, he fell into a trance and saw a sky open up. So I don't know what happened, but do you kind of fall asleep when you're hungry? I don't know. Maybe he did. So while he was waiting for food, he kind of dozed off somewhere in the awake and sleep state. There's a trance. And at that time, he saw a vision. He saw a vision. A sky opened up and a great sheet came down from heaven by four corners to the ground. So it came down to the ground. But in it were all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures, and on the air of the earth and the birds of the air. So these are all kinds of four-footed animals, creatures, crawling creatures, and birds of the air. But apparently these are all unclean animals. The Old Testament has, these are unclean animals, you don't eat. These are clean animals, you can eat. And so Jews were very pretty adamant about this. They would not touch, you know, non-kosher food. I think that's what they say, non-kosher food. If you go to like Muslim countries, they also have that. You know, what is it? They just don't eat pork, is that right? The Muslim people. So, but the Jewish people have a very specific, these animals you don't eat, these birds you don't eat, these you can eat. By the way, pigeons are like unclean animals. That's why you don't eat pigeons. But actually Asians eat pigeons, you know. I don't know. Asians are kind of funny. But then the voice came and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "By no means. These are, you know, I have never eaten." So Peter said, "I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." So he was a pretty devout Jew, Peter, he was. And the voice came to the second time and said, "God has cleansed what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And it happened three times. And while he was kind of like perplexed, it says, the men sent by Cornelius were looking for Simon's house, and they came around. But just around then, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are coming looking for you. But get up and go down and accompany them without misgiving. I have sent them myself." So while he was, the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, the men came and knocking and say, "Yeah, you know, we were sent by our, you know, centurion, Cornelius, the righteous and God-fearing man from the entire nation, directed us to, he was directed by a holy angel to come and ask for you." And so sure enough, at the same time, of course, Peter heard, you know, the voice of the Spirit to don't, you know, give any misgiving, just go follow. And so the next day they went up together and they arrived at Cornelius' house. But when he arrived at Cornelius' house, he had his family and friends, all kinds of people kind of gathered, ready to hear. And Peter says certain things and then he goes into the message that we read, you know, about who Jesus is. And when they heard this message, while they were hearing the message, then Peter was still speaking. While Peter was still speaking these words of the previous section, the Holy Spirit fell upon them who were listening to the message. Amazing. It was just even listening to the message. Wow, listening to the message. Somehow the Holy Spirit came upon them. Powerfully speaking in tongues, just like the book of Acts chapter 2, the Jewish people, as they were praying, the Holy Spirit came like a fire, like a tongue, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a proof us Gentiles can be filled with the Spirit in the way the book of Acts chapter 2 describes. You might say, well, chapter 2, those are Jewish people, and it was first coming of the Holy Spirit, and God wanted to just make it a splash to make sure the indwelling Spirit came. That's just for them. But that's not true here. For the Gentiles, as Peter was speaking the message about Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon them just like he did with the Jews. Came powerfully with tongues that they spoke. So here, this is a kind of a story of how the Holy Spirit came to fill the Gentiles. As the Holy Spirit came upon the Jews, as the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius, it could come to us. This is a historical description and teaching to say we too can be filled with the Spirit to the fullest. We have the Spirit by faith, but we need to aspire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ed, are you longing to be filled with the Spirit? Amen. Are you waiting to be filled with the Spirit? Let's get some amen here. Hallelujah. Okay, are you longing to be filled with the Spirit even more? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. By the way, the Koreans say hallelujah is a tongue language. Tongue language saying hallelujah. So what the Korean charismatic churches do is to kind of get the momentum started in speaking in tongues, they say, just repeat hallelujah. Passionately. Hallelujah! 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 But you know what? When you say hallelujah, it makes me feel like calm inside. The expression of hallelujah is really, there's a power there. The word expression, saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, there's something there. So if you want a gift of tongue, ask the Lord, and then start saying hallelujah, you know, thousands of times. And if he doesn't give you gifts of tongue, that means you're not meant for it. Not everybody gets a gift of tongue, right? Ask for a gift of interpretation, that's even better. So, but anyway, the point is, you know, how was it that Peter experienced the Holy Spirit? And how did Cornelius, his family, and his friend receive the fullness of the Spirit? So I wanted to share one point from Peter and 2 points for Cornelius. Guys, without having PowerPoint, like I said, I'm minimizing my points. So one point for Peter. How did Peter experience the amazing miracle of the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit? Why was it that Peter was able to witness the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because he listened to the Holy Spirit. You know, when he fell asleep, not in a trance, and he saw a vision of the sheet coming down with unclean animals, and the voice said, you know, eat. No, Lord, I cannot eat anything unclean and unholy. And yet the voice said, eat. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then he says, you know, 3 men are going to come looking for you. Go down there and accompany them, and don't give any misgiving. Don't resist. And these are Gentiles. 3 Gentiles are going to come. Don't give any misgivings. Just go. But you know what's difficult about this? Because Jews don't associate with Gentiles. When the 3 men came, if he did not get this vision, Peter would have said, no, Lord, they are Gentiles, unclean. I cannot go with them. See what I'm saying? When he went to Cornelius' house, you all know how Gentiles not allowed to hang out with the you know, Jews are not allowed to hang out with the Gentiles. And so he's letting them know, but because the Holy Spirit told me to do so, here I am. So, you know, why was Peter able to experience and witness the Holy Spirit coming upon the Gentiles? Because he didn't give misgiving to what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. The Holy Spirit told him to eat. What God has cleansed, do not say it's unclean. What God has cleansed, do not say it's unclean. Eat. Three times God said that in a vision through the Holy Spirit. You know what this is? It's actually a paradigm shift. Paradigm. You know, I know sometimes few fancy words, guys. You know, I'm not very, you know, liberal arts. I'm more of an engineer, so I don't use too much fancy words. That's why you understand my preaching simply. You know what? When I go overseas, the overseas kids, whether it be Mongolia and other places, China, other places, when I speak English, they say, "We understand everything." Because my English is pretty simple. It's not complicated. But anyway, paradigm shift is pretty complicated. Paradigm shift. What is that? It's a shift in the way a person thinks or lives their lives. Jewish people had a very clear paradigm of anything unholy, unclean, you don't eat, you don't associate. But then the Holy Spirit is saying, don't say it's unclean if God cleansed it. If God cleansed it, don't say it's unclean. Eat, that means associate, even with the Gentiles. You know, we're kind of challenged with such a paradigm shift. It's our kind of like tendency is to resist. No, that's not, you know, what I've been living. But, you know, sometimes God may call us to do something majorly different. You know what, the paradigm shift that I kind of like dread, and yet time to time, I am kind of like, you know, I get a nudging of the Lord, is when I'm evangelizing. When I'm evangelizing, who do I evangelize to? Only guys. But you know, there's plenty of girls, sometimes more girls around there than guys. And I just have to pass by them because I only reach out to guys. So there's a kind of limited audience there. But I burden for the women. We need to have more preaching to the women's side. I mean, I've been preaching to guys all my life. I feel like I'm kind of sinning not to preach to the girls. I mean, if there's more girl evangelists, you know, praise the Lord, let them preach to them. But, you know, if there's a limited laborers there and I'm there, I think there could be an exception that I should perhaps. You know, after all, Jesus reached out to who? Samaritan woman, right? So when I think of Samaritan woman, my conscience gets kind of like, Jesus did it. We're supposed to follow Jesus. But you know what my fear is? I'm afraid if I approach girls, they would get offended and hurt. This old person's talking to me. Or they might get scared, you know? And I would just hate to scare girls. But at the same time, Jesus did it. After all, Lauren does it all the time. Lauren must have discipled. I'm not sure, disciple, but he must have helped. Last count, he told me he's about 5. So I don't know. Lauren is just kind of smooth with the girls. They don't take him to be a stumbling block. You know, they just, they associate okay. Well, if Lauren could do it, maybe I could do it. But I did disciple girls, you know, group discipleship, right? Even I hung out with, you know, these girls right here, these sisters right here. Right, Yvonne? We had some good discipleship, training, right? Lisa, we had some good under the umbrella time. But that was it. Is it in the what is it? Sproul turnaround. We meet there, preparation for evangelism, right? So that's under the umbrella, right? You know. So, but I just get like, oh Lord, you know, I rarely evangelize to the girls, but guys, pray for me because I think I'm old enough that, you know, I hope that girls will not be too threatened by me. I mean, I've said this several times and I still am not, I'm dragging my feet. So this will be a paradigm shift for me. But this is just an example. So to such drastic change from, you know, only Jewish people to the Gentiles, only eating holy food to eating unholy food according to the Old Testament. It was a huge change. But Peter, when he heard this, what God cleanses, do not consider unclean. And when these three men comes, who are Gentiles, you go with them. Don't give any misgiving. Go with them. And so he goes there. So why was Peter able to witness the coming of the Holy Spirit, pouring in of the Holy Spirit into the Gentiles? Cornelius said the Gentiles. Because he obeyed the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit said. So this is another preparation for us in hoping for the filling of the Holy Spirit is let's listen to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying for us to obey? What is he saying for us to obey? So this is the one point for Peter. 2 points for Cornelius. Before he got his family and his friend together, he was well known. He was a man known to be devout, religious man, devout man, living out what he believed. He feared God. He actually practiced by giving help and alms to, you know, all the Jewish people. And he prayed to God continually, he says. But from the passage we read in chapter 10:34, it starts out like this. Peter, when he started preaching, this is what he says. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. After he saw the vision of the sheet full of unclean animals coming down, saying, eat three times. And then this three Gentile Italian soldiers coming. And now hearing the experience of Cornelius saying, an angel came and told me to go to Joppa. And then Peter saying, now I'm pretty certain that God is not to want show partiality between Jews and Gentiles. But it says, the next verse it says, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. He now concluded, God doesn't show partiality between Jews and Gentiles. But any nation, people who fears God, and people who does right is welcome to him. In verse 22, it says, the three men describing about their captain. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, and a God-fearing man. Why was Cornelius especially, you know, he was remembered. It says here, your prayers and alms have been remembered by God. Remember God. And so God came to him to send for Peter. Because this was a man who feared God and lived righteously. Fear God and live righteously. In preparation for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So that's another preparation. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But learning from Cornelius, do we fear God? Do we fear God? Because our life is laid bare before God. And so, if we fear God, then both our life in public and life in private is seen by God. But if our life in public and my life in private is different, perhaps maybe our fear of God is not really quite there. If our fear of God is there, how we act in public and how we act in private really will make impact. To do the right thing, the righteous thing, in public as well as in private. And so, God-fearing man who does righteous things acknowledge God's presence in their lives and realize that God sees us all. And does the righteous thing. Does the righteous thing. So in preparation for the hoping for the, while we are waiting for the Holy Spirit in preparation, we might not need to like ask God to, Lord, give me the fear of you. Would you give me fear? Fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Fear is the beginning of knowledge. Fear is the beginning of true discernment. And living righteously also is a source of power. Prayer of the righteous is what? Effectual. Effectual. If we live righteously. So for me, I definitely want to grow in the fear of the Lord. Yeah, I think my private life is in the upswing. You know, I'm doing not too bad by God's grace. But living righteously, I think God is bringing some challenges, which, you know, I need to accept. And, you know, I've been getting some feedback, perhaps accusation that could be true, and some things that I need to work on. And so it's like, you know, I'm being accused. I don't want to say that negatively because it could be true. Is that I'm hurting people. Pastor Min's been hurting people. So that's something that I've been hearing recently, maybe even in the past a little bit. And that that even maybe there's a pattern to my hurting, you know. And that that I'm abusive in words. I've been getting some of these feedbacks. Well, definitely I'm not innocent of it. There's some truth to it. I'm sure I'm guilty of all these, you know, accusation. Accusing is not a bad thing. You know, you got to accuse what's wrong, you know, clearly. And so, but anyway, you know, I think this summer was pretty much of an example. You know, summertime, we pretty much worked in the church. Is that right? Ed, Jeremy, and we had some interns. We had like Bing Chin and Kevin interning us at the end. Is that right? And we had Conrad there too as well. But you know, we normally are in our own campuses, you know, minding our business. But when we're together, and on top of that, I wanted to make the summertime a work training because some of these guys never worked. So I wanted to make the summertime a work training. So keeping time and doing work efficiently. And so I was trying to help them with experience of regular work. But, you know, when you're separated in different campuses, there's no problem. But when you're in the same office working together, well, there could be some, you know, I don't know. I would say clashes or maybe just frustrations of different kind. And so, yeah, I could have, you know, thrown out some abusive words. Oh, there might have been some abusive response too. But, you know, it was a little more heavier than before. And I think Bing Chin and Kevin was witness to that, right? Did you witness some of that? So, but anyway, but to that, you know, if I have abused in any way out of frustration, or, you know, I don't think I've intentionally abused people, but, you know, I definitely need to own up to my part of the sin. And if there's a pattern, you know, definitely, you know, I need to acknowledge that and without any cost. So there's always something going on. But anyway, it could be, you know, some people could be considered as an abuse. So to that, if anybody comes to me with that, I'm more than willing to own up and apologize. I've been doing that, right? I've been going around asking people, you know, how I have hurt them and, you know, did it, whatever. But, you know, to apologize, that's definitely the thing to do. So for me to be wanting to be filled with the Spirit, if there's these issues, then I want to follow the biblical protocol. If you come to the altar, that somebody has something against you, then go and make your peace and come back. Make your offering. So I invite everyone who feel that they were abused, they receive abusive words or hurts from me, I ask them gladly to come. So we need to make peace. Thankfully, one brother sent me an email saying, remember that time when we were doing something on campus, you know, I thought your voice was kind of strong. And he said, I did apologize, but I didn't own up to what I did. So I said, oh my goodness, I didn't. You know, that's something I want to do. I want to own up to what I did. And then if we need to talk about for clarity, we could talk about for clarity, not for justification, but for clarification. But definitely the first thing is to own up to resolve things. So I gladly invite people to come and let us make peace. And if somebody is reluctant to come, I invite you guys to be a peacemaker. You know what that is? If a person is offended by another person and they don't want to come together, you in the middle become a peacemaker and try to bring them together. Is your thing? If you don't, then something, because for the sake of the body, we don't want to potentially lead to other negative things. Because if you're hurt and you're offended and you don't resolve it, then you become bitter. You become angry. Angry turns to bitter. And that becomes unforgiveness. And when bitter and unforgiveness start speaking, that's when the whole body gets affected. You know, according to Hebrews, it says, you know, take care lest you fall from grace. That it defiles you. But if you start speaking, you know, overly share your hurts, then it starts to affect other people. So that's definitely not what we want to do. So we want to take care of things as quickly as possible. You know, if I've offended you, you know, I want to share that with you. But if somebody offended me, I do give a text. And you got fuel, right? and so I may need to put a little more emojis, by the way. Sometimes, Jeremy's saying no emojis. Jeremy's probably saying no text, period. So, but definitely I need to resolve it, because if I don't resolve it, then it might boil up on me. And I might become an edifying. So, you know, whether I offended you, you offended me, we need to take care of it as soon as possible. Amen? So then it protects you and it protects the ministry. Otherwise, it could start creating a bitterness, you know, propagating from a person to person unnecessarily. But anyway, that's something I need to, you know, further take care. I've been doing that. I've been meeting with people and trying to invite them to share. Maybe they can't share everything, but I'm willing to wait. You know, if you can't share in the first meeting, let's share in the second meeting. If you can't share in the second meeting, let's share in the third meeting. But if, you know, if you can't do it by yourself, then bring somebody else and we'll work on it. And, but again, the consequence of that is devastating to the ministry. But that's my righteousness I need to work on. So what is a righteousness in your life? Perhaps you can work on until while you're waiting for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that's the second thing that we can do, learning from Cornelius. Fear God. Live life in the light of God seeing us. And do some righteous things. That if you've been living an old life, live a new life. Oh, we've been talking about that with Jackie again, about old life, coming new life. And he's taking some steps, and that's great. Praise the Lord. And Kevin as well, right? So that's the preparation. Now, the last point. I'm done, guys. This isn't it. What's the time right now?
11.
Okay. I don't see it, but. 3 minutes? Oh yeah, we got communion. That's why I'm saying I'm going to end with one point here. We got communion, definitely. So the last point is, Cornelius was a God-fearing and a devout man, God-fearing and righteous man. Is that right? We need to prepare ourselves with that to allow the Holy Spirit to come. If Cornelius was unrighteous man, he was not fearing God, I don't think God would send an angel to bring Peter. Cornelius was living a life fearing God and living righteously. He was remembered. But when Peter came and spoke the message about Jesus Christ in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message, and they start speaking in tongues. What does this mean? More clearly, you know, this story is repeated in chapter 11 as well. They were speaking in tongues. They received the Holy Spirit. But if you go on to chapter 11, verse 15 on, this is what it says. And this was like Peter now reporting back in Jerusalem what happened to the Gentiles. It's the same thing. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. So Peter is saying, just like it fell upon us at the upper room, it happened to the Gentiles. So he was just like amazed how God is definitely without partiality. Same Holy Spirit who came upon the Jewish people, because they are chosen people, but it's not only for them. Through them is to be them, they're to be the light to the nation. So Gentile was the end path of God's salvation. So for the Gentiles, the Spirit fell on them just like us. Verse 16 says, and I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptizes water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord spoke to them, and Peter then remembered what Jesus said. John baptized with water, but you will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Jesus will baptized, but then now you will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, he says, therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he has also gave to us also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I would stand in God's way? It says here, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So while they were listening to the message, what happened? The faith came and they believed. So it's not just like nothing happened, but the message is being preached, what Jesus is, you know, taught about Jesus by Peter. And then while he was preaching, the faith came upon the people and they accepted it, believed. Believing is accepting the faith God gives. So how is it that we can receive the Holy Spirit? Is even through preaching like this, if you are blessed with faith and say, I believe, I accept this. By accepting the faith God gives you, by believing, is the beginning also of the Holy Spirit coming more fully. So could it be possible that we know a lot of things, but we may not believe it fully? We know a lot of things about God, but do we believe God fully? We know a lot of promises. Are we claiming it fully? But somehow, with the believing, the Holy Spirit came as they were listening to the message. But it goes on, the Jewish counterparts respond in verse 18. Then they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. So they also accept the paradigm shift, the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Wow, God is doing this. So they quieted down and started glorifying. Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So as Peter was preaching, what was happening is God is blessing them with faith. The believing was happening, and they were repenting. They were repenting. So there was something going on as the message is being preached. As the message is being preached, they were being convicted by the Holy Spirit and being blessed with faith. They believed it. They accepted it. And then that led to other repentance. Other repentance. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came. So there's another preparation. We could learn from Cornelius to seek to live a life fearing God and living a righteous life. Secondly, we can listen with faith. We can listen with faith and ask God to bless us with faith so we could believe it. Ask God to convict us of sin so we could repent it. Believe it and repent it. And then as they were listening, their hearts were believing and their hearts were repenting, and the Holy Spirit came. Amazing. Amen? Does this give us some practical ways to prepare? If not, in 3 weeks, you're going to be filled with the Spirit, even if it doesn't fully, oh, such man of little faith. God can do it in 3 weeks. But if it doesn't, you know, these are things you could continue to do in hope of receiving the fullness of the Spirit. Pray. Pray, pray, just like Cornelius prayed, just like the early church prayed for 9 days. And then when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, let us listen to that paradigm shift. Maybe kind of like, not my natural tendency, but maybe we should just listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we should learn from Cornelius, right? Be a man who fears God. Be a man who walks righteously. And we need to work on some righteous life things. And then we need to ask God for faith so we can believe. And when God speaks to us, And the Holy Spirit convicts us to repent as well. What do you think? Does that make sense? Is that something we can do in these next weeks? Furthermore, in preparation. And I hope, you know, what I hoped in building this building here, especially the second floor, I said, I hope the second floor will become like the second floor of Book of Acts. They call it upper room. They met at the upper room. So the name of this sanctuary is called the upper room. I would like this place to be a place like the upper room, and the Holy Spirit will come like the fire, and you know, perhaps God will bless some of us with tongues. But it's okay if you don't have tongue. That's why we don't want to focus too much on that. Because I know that my Korean church over there, they're into tongues, actually. And then what happens is when some people get tongue and some people don't get the tongue, you know what the dynamics happen is? Oh, people with the tongue are more spiritual. And if the person doesn't have a gift of tongue, you're not there yet. You know, there's all kinds of these things happening in different places. But tongue is one of those. But anyway, I would like for our church and our ministry people to be full of the Spirit and the tongue. Amen? Okay, well, let's pray and close, and we have communion today. Father God, we thank you so much for more messages on how to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit or filling of the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, Pentecost Sunday is coming, and we want to hope even by faith. Lord, would you fill us even more as we wait for the promise of the Father, the gift of the Spirit. And, Lord, this sanctuary would be a place like the upper room where we would pray, and your Holy Spirit will fill us. And with the fullness of your Spirit, that we would go forth wherever you send us. And that our lives will reflect a life of men and women who fears you and walks in righteousness. We thank you, God, for this word. Help us to take it to heart and even to live it out in preparation for the Pentecost Sunday. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.